Patch gone fishing all the time. He be gone fishing too.
Oh, you know what that means, right? It's time for a fishing report. Leaf is in here, and it's that time of year where normally we'd be talking about steelhead, or at least we would hope we'd be talking about steelhead, but we're going to be talking about whitefish today,
That's right. Yep. Good to see you, Deputy D.
How you doing, Leaf?
Oh, good. Good. Very happy. Happy with things as they are at this time. That is for sure.
That's always good.
Yeah. You know, like we were talking about before we got on the air, I guess... you know, a few things changed, like, immediately around, either just before, or I feel like as we were talking about the highway being open
during
the
report,
I knew we shouldn't have talked about it. It probably closed while we were talking about it being open.
Anybody listening should know that they got to look for
themselves. We warned them, right?
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, highway's closed, but the river is open to whitefish. Even more open there again than we thought it would be.
Yeah, a little bit more open.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Ryan, you know, finally got a hold of him. I guess we're both busy men, you know, and it looks like they upgraded the Methouse array system. The array system being the set of antennas that they use to track the tagged fish that are moving through this system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know.
And they found out something that made them modify it a little bit.
Yeah.
Modified the season.
You know, they could see that there were just a few hundred steelhead up in the upper river, and the vast majority of the run sitting down below the Miller Run in the Pateras area.
Well, that's what you say all the time, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, we talk about how that's the case.
Yeah.
It just is where they like to hold until about February, and they start to move up, and everybody starts to, you know, kind of claim their spot. I think they're hanging out down by that motel down there, the Superstop or whatever. I think they like to spend their winter there.
Yeah.
And
well, it's there's elbow room.
Yeah.
I don't know
exactly.
What. And well, they're probably actually waiting for temperature.
Exactly. More moderate temperatures down there, and I'm sure you all have seen how small the water is.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow! It's very very low. And it's going to get cold. It's going to get cold. Just, you know, this morning I could see there was a little bit of super thin shelf ice setting up and a little bit of frazzle. But by the time you got up to Winthrop, just like we talk about there again, a little bit warmer water up there. The water was clear up there.
Mm-hmm.
Still would have been a cold morning on the water. But
indeed,
I am looking for a window every day. You know how it is. At least an hour.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, we were talking, like you said, before we got on the air. And you found some really interesting conditions there, but you wouldn't necessarily have found those unless you went out. You just got to go. Every day can be different.
Yeah, you know, since we had the extra water open, and we've had these super, well, before this point, really nice warm temperatures.
Right.
My drift boat was staring at me, and I was staring back at it, and we were like, what do we do about this, you know? And had a couple guys want to get out on the water, so holy cow, took that chance to get down there in that Carlton area, and it was just amazing. Even that morning, it was gross. It was kind of raining, a little bit drizzly, and so on Saturday morning, I'm not sure, it looked nicer, actually, up here towards Twisp, and I was kind of driving down into the crappier weather going, oh gosh, you know, but... You know, it was amazing. By the time we got the shuttle set up, hit the water, I was feeling a little hyperactive as usual. So I had moved the boat up one run above the put in and thought, you know, if they had time, then I would ferry across and row up an additional hole. So we were two runs above the put in, actually, before we really even started the morning. And, you know, it was weird looking downriver. You could see literally more than 100 noses coming up out of the water in the three runs because you can kind of see through this long, flat section. And it was mostly probably whitefish, small trout, and then you'd see maybe a half dozen large trout throughout the course of the run. And then two or three must have been steelhead, just a little toop, 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 boom, boom.
What were they coming up for?
It must have been chironomid. It was hard to see what was going on. We started off just with my bread and butter combinations for cold water fishing, mostly just kind of going with small egg style stuff or chironomids. And, you know, we immediately got one small whitefish and then just kind of nothing for the next run. And we got into the third run or the put in, and all of a sudden my client's bobber got just smashed right in front of the boat or indicator, whatever. And so I was just like, you know, we can't ignore this any longer. And I had seen this little pattern, this tiny, adult chironomid pattern a long time ago, And so I tied some of those and literally just kind of had done it, you know, dreaming that sometime a condition would be together right for that. And holy cow. The guy in front swung one around and missed a fish. The guy in back was having a hard time reaching. So I threw it down and across and just kind of wanted to show him how to place it down a little more stacked. And whoop, right when I put it down, nice cutthroat came up and just took it. And so I handed off to him. He fought that thing in and that just commenced. You know, it was maybe a short period, about an hour, hour and a half of dry fly activity on December 1st. I mean, that's
great. Amazing.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you had those little bugs tied up?
Yeah. You know, it's just sometimes you tie those up dreaming that maybe. Most of the time you don't end up using them. They just kind of sitting there looking pretty. But man, that could, it, like I say, it wasn't on the water for a quarter second.
Mm-hmm.
And it got taken down. So always be ready. Yeah. Have a little bit of everything in there. You just never know.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure that's kind of one of the things you do in the, I don't know, in the wintertime or whenever you've got a little slack time.
Yeah.
Follow up on those little dreams, those little ideas that you might have. I mean, I'm sure that if you had engaged your logical mind that morning, you wouldn't have guessed that scenario.
No, you don't really think about midwinter dry fly. I've had a little bit of success in the past, but I mean, just one or two fish over years, and that one was just like, they were all over
you were
it.
There.
And I wish I would have kicked it on there about an hour earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least we got some of that. And the rest of the day was just incredible. The river was just the right level, about 500 at Pateras is how I measure, as I always say. And so it was just enough to get me and a couple guys down the boat, no problem. You could see every single fish on the bottom. There were schools of whitefish. Hmm. And so we were just able to kind of pass it through. We got a lot of nice little and large trout and white fish, and it was just a great day. And
you run a batch of white fish in the smoker.
Well, you know, the first one that we brought to hand was so small I didn't really want to, and then the next one that we actually got to hand, we handed it off to the biologist for some science-y stuff.
Okay.
Well, they're doing. I think it's going to be just basically like an age study, see what age whitefish we have in there, how many of each age, and just kind of get some baseline information. It's another one of those fish that there's not a whole lot of data about.
That's what I was going to ask you. I'm guessing whitefish, they sort of lag behind in the data gathering.
Yeah, not a huge funding source for the whitefish.
Hey.
But hey, they're native fish, and you know, I know they got that kind of face that only a mama could love, but you know, I'll put up some pictures. Brandon and Sarah, they took some the other day, like the day after we actually got into some larger ones, and it was amazing how much coarse sand or tiny gravel, large sand, it's hard, you know, that these guys will take in while trying to plunge their faces into the gravel and get some salmon eggs. You could see a handful of maybe 10 salmon eggs and a quarter cup of just gravel in their guts.
Well, that's why they're a different kind of fish, because they
have
a different kind of diet.
That food under there, boy.
Yeah. Well, clearly they've evolved to handle that much grit.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. You know? No, they're probably like a, you know, a bird that can get it in their gizzard and kind of pass it through or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably helps hold them down to the bottom, I was thinking.
Well, that too. Yeah, a little ballast. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, just great time to get out there. It's a lot of fun. It's not just crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look for those temperatures to line up and know what to use, for a while here, it's going to be kind of eggy stuff. You can use those little size 14 eggs because right now we still have coho laying them down. And that's what those whitefish are really after, obviously. You can see from that gut check. I'll put that picture up too because you just got to see it. I look for those on my Facebook or Instagram. That way we can get more of these pictures from these crazy stories up there, and you can kind of check out and see what we're talking about. But, you know, this is that time of the podcast where we talk about our great sponsors over there at North 40. I know they're planning on putting up an ice fishing seminar over there.
Oh, keep us posted on that.
I will. I'll have that on the Facebook page, and you can check that out. You get an idea how to get out there and get your kokanee for smoking and canning, which I'll be bringing in here soon.
Yep.
So, If you want to book a trip or get some fishing tips, maybe pick up that gift certificate for a later trip out there on the water, check me out at flyfishersproshop.com for the blog or podcast, and you can get a hold of me at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com or 509-429-7298. Stay warm, y'all. Take care of each other. You get that fish right home, baby.
Fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to make. Come on with my pole and my line. I'm going fishing. Mama's going fishing.